Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. 100 years ago, Libby, Montana was like so many other small towns in the American West. Its population grew to about 2,700 as people came to work the timber and mining industries. And it looked like Libby had a bright future as it began mining what was branded as zonalite, a form of vermiculite that would be used as home insulation and fertilizer around the world. But as the years wore on, the mining company realized that its product was laced with tremolite, a type of asbestos that is particularly hazardous to health. And instead of warning its workforce of the dangers, it kept on mining. The story of Libby, Montana is the subject of a documentary film on the POV series on PBS, which airs August 28th. Drury Gunn Carr and Doug Hawes Davis co-directed the film. I asked Drew to tell me what happens to people who are exposed to this mineral.
What happens is this tremolite gets stirred up in the air during mining or in any kind of agitation, and people breathe it in. And over time, it starts to scar the lungs and turns into a disease called asbestosis. What happens is the lungs fill up with water, essentially, and they suffocate over time. So the other disease associated with it, two diseases, one is lung cancer, and the other one is called mesothelioma, which is a very rare cancer of the outer lining of the lungs.
I'd like to play some sound from your documentary now from an interview with a man named Les Skramstad, who worked in the vermiculite mine. It was his first day on the job, and he was excited about the opportunity, he told you.
I had this respirator on, and in about 15 minutes, I couldn't breathe. So I pulled this respirator off, and it was just plugged solid. I was just covered with this dust everywhere. You couldn't get it off of me, really. It just stuck, you know. And so I took it home with me. And I'd walk in the house, you know, my oldest daughter and my oldest son, they'd grab me by the legs, you know, because they was happy to see me. And Christ, I was covered with this stuff, you know. It wasn't that I was being sloppy. It was just that I couldn't get it off.
So Les Skramstad takes his job at the plant. And what happens to him and his health?
Well, over time, he started to develop a cough and had trouble breathing. And he went to the hospital and was told that he had asbestosis and that he had just a few years to live.
So we went out and got in the car and started for home. And I guess we got about halfway home, probably. And I said to Narita, I said, Jesus, you know what? She said, what? And I said, I just got a death sentence.
What did he do about the fact that he had this disease from working at the mine?
Well, Les was a very soft-spoken man, and I think he probably found it difficult to speak out about his ailment. And Les was told by many that he was a troublemaker, that he was, you know, a reactionary and a radical. All those terms were used to describe anyone who came out and said, you know, we have a problem in this town. People are getting sick.
So did he remain ostracized for the rest of his life?
Well, no, he didn't. Les continued over the years to speak out publicly along with a handful of other people. And as the numbers of people being diagnosed with asbestosis in that town grew, the call for action also grew. Les passed away in January of this year, 2007. And it was very heartening to go to his funeral and see the hundreds of people who came, literally blizzard conditions, to pay their respects.
This is a town of, what, about 2,700 people. And of this town, do I have this correct, more than 200 have died from lung disease, and another 1,200 have some form of lung disease?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to get around those numbers. There's now a clinic set up in Libby called the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease, and they report that they have something on the order of 1,400 patients with some type of lung abnormality associated with asbestos exposure. And they estimate that around 270 people have died from asbestos-related disease.
W.R. Grace was the company that was doing the mining in Libby, Montana. Can you tell me a bit about this company?
Well, W.R. Grace has been around for a long time. They are a huge multinational corporation. You know, W.R. Grace is one of the companies that was involved in the Woburn, Massachusetts lawsuits, which ended up in the book and the film A Civil Action. So they're not unknown to be in issues associated with toxic material. And in the case of Libby, the on-scene coordinator for the EPA, Paul Perrenard, described Grace as being by far the most difficult corporation to work with. And that has been shown to be the case in Libby, where many people feel that they were betrayed by this company.
What will happen and what has happened to W.R. Grace and its former employees?
Well, in 2001, W.R. Grace filed for bankruptcy, and they're still in bankruptcy. The courts are still trying to figure out what's happening in Libby, what the liability in Libby will be for cleanup, for human health. And as far as their financial situation, they're far from out of business. Their 2006 annual report reported sales of over $2.8 billion with a net income of over $18 million. So they are still doing quite well in business, and someday will probably emerge from bankruptcy relatively unscathed.
What about criminal sanctions? Executives were indicted, as I understand it, at some point. What's happened to those cases?
Yeah, it's been ongoing for a couple of years now, but in February of 2005, seven executives and managers from W.R. Grace were indicted on federal criminal charges for knowingly endangering the residents of Libby and concealing information about the health effects of its mining operations. And that case is due to come up in September of 2007, but it's far from clear that any of these charges will stick.
So what's the prospect of Libby ever getting all this stuff cleaned up?
Well, that's the question. And early in 2007, that's exactly what EPA is doing. They're doing a huge study to determine how clean the town needs to be in order to significantly reduce the risk of asbestos exposure.
This asbestos-laced vermiculite was shipped all over the country to be used as insulation. How many homes do you think it's in today?
Well, that's the big question. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates that somewhere around 35 million homes and buildings have some level of zonalite insulation from Libby. The question now is it safe to have zonalite insulation in your home if it's sealed up? And that's a question that the EPA has really failed to answer. One of the reasons that Libby, for instance, was never declared a public health emergency, because if they did that, they would have had to have taken out all the insulation from all the homes in Libby. But of course, the problem with that is if they do that, they'd have to explain to the American public why they aren't, addressing zonal insulation in all of these millions and millions of homes throughout the United States.
Drew Guncar and his partner Doug Hawes-Davis produced the documentary film Libby, Montana for the Point of View series on PBS. That airs August 28th. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.